about missions and ministry. And in fact, from October through December, that's our missions awareness as we look at supporting four major in missional endeavors. As Baptists, we have the Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions. And I know some of you are saying, when are we going to pay these ladies off? Well, the offering is put in their honor. And so that's why we have that Lottie Moon, who was a missionary in China. We have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. You have Mary Hill Davis, who helped start churches in Texas a century and a half ago. And then you have Union Baptist Association. We're part, not of the association here in Walker and Montgomery County, but of Harris County because of our work in restorative justice ministries and with other entities across the state. And so up on, I think, Jamie, you have an envelope. When you look at your envelope, that top line would be your tithe. The second line, where it says for missions, if you give $100 to that above your tithe, then each of those four entities will get $25. And so I have no clue what the offering is so far. Last year, y'all gave around $12,000. I just want to say thank you for that. But I wanted to always update and educate on what we're trying to do in missions. And but anyway, this morning, if you have your Bibles, if not, I'll have it up on the screen. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 15. Some of you may have your Bible on your phone, the app. But I want us to look at verses 12 and 13 as we talk about Christmas. Advent means coming. I want you to be clear. There are two Advents in a Christian life. One is the coming of Christ, Christmas, where he was born in a manger. And then the second Advent is his return as king. And so we don't know when that date is, but we do know this. He's coming. Are you ready for it? And so in Romans chapter 15, Paul is writing a letter and he's quoting Isaiah. And he says this, and again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." Oh, I like that phrase, the Gentiles will hope. I'm assuming everybody in this room is a Gentile. I'm not aware of any Jewish people in here. But because of what Jesus did, we not only have hope, but we have salvation with Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on and he writes this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This morning I want to talk about hope, the hope that we have, the hope that Christ gives to us. So this morning, the first thing, what is hope? What is this hope that we have? And we've been singing, if you didn't catch the lyrics of the songs that we just sang, hope was involved in it. Hope in the shadows and, you know, hope regarding what issues we go through. And when we think of hope, there are about four things I want to share with you quickly. One is it's the hope of having a right relationship with God. You know, because of what Jesus has done, our hope isn't an iffy hope. Hope is a reality. Okay, when we think hope, I hope it will snow today, or I hope the Cowboys will go to the Super Bowl, or, you know, whatever. That's an iffy hope. When we start talking about hope in the Bible, that is a fact. It is a certainty. And Paul writes this, "But we have the true hope that comes from being made right with God, and by the Spirit we eagerly wait for this hope." And so what we see here is that because of what Jesus has done, we now have hope for a right relationship with the Father, with God. The second thing I want to point out about hope, it is the hope of being resurrected. That when we die, that's not it. It's only the beginning. Peter, remember that fisherman from Trinity County? And I'm from Trinity County, so I can say that. And SFA and Lufkin, so yeah, I'm a mutt, so all the bad stuff's up here. But notice what Peter says. "Praise be to the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Man, living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you're going, what is the hope of being resurrected? Well, if the Father resurrected his Son, Jesus, from the grave, you too will be resurrected. Amen. Now, let me just be clear. The moment I die, I'm in the presence of Christ. The resurrection for me means I get a new body, a glorified body, where I won't have diabetes or other issues, you know, those things. And when I get to heaven, I do get to eat chocolate, all that other good pizza, all that other good stuff. But we have hope of being resurrected. The grave isn't the end. The third hope, or what hope points out, is the hope of being in God's glory. Now, this is talking about the afterlife. Now that we've been put right with God through faith, meaning we have the right relationship, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning we can enter into the presence of God 24/7. But notice this in verse 2. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. And so we boast of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. What does that mean? It means this, guys. One day, you will be glorified with God's glory. One day, you will be able to see God in His glory. Right now, if you saw God in His glory, you'd die. And so, there's not a mist, there's not a veil, a curtain, or whatever. You get to see God as He is. Boy, that's incredible. That's hope. We know that one day, and Paul writes that. The last hope that we have, and as I shared with you, Advent means coming. We talk about the coming of Christ being the second Advent. It's the hope of the second coming of Christ. And it's Christmas season. I know some of you are playing Ready or Not, and you need to understand hide and seek. Jesus is about to say, Ready or Not, here I come. And He doesn't care if you're ready or not because He's God. And Peter says, Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. Guys, so we have hope. We're made right with God. We get to see God. We get to live for eternity. And we get to be with Jesus when He returns. And so we are on a mission field with Jesus. But as we think of hope, we need to understand the hope of the kingdom of heaven is also known as the kingdom of God. So the Jews were very particular. They wouldn't say the kingdom of God because they thought they were being non-religious or non-holy. And so they would refer to the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven. So it's the same thing as you read scripture. And when we think of the hope of kingdom of heaven, in the little book of Ruth, I love that story. At the end, Ruth marries Boaz and they have a son. Naomi's the mother-in-law. And I know many of you are dying to go move in with your mother-in-law and follow her. Remember, she says, your people will be my people. Everybody's going, whatever you've lost. All right, well, anyway, Ruth takes care of her mother-in-law. Boy, I've lost y'all real quick. I see that over that stuff. But what I want to talk about is the genealogy. Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed, which means servant, obey. He was, and that's where we get our English word obey from, by the way, is the Hebrew Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. The Messiah would be what? The son of David. Now, if you look at Matthew 1:1, and then verses 16 and 17, you have the genealogy of Jesus. And I just want to point this out, tying into Ruth, because the book of Ruth was written, oh goodness gracious, 1,000 years before Jesus. We know David came around, 1,000 B.C., and we can date that. And then as we think of Jesus, now notice this. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, son of Abraham. And then skipping to verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who's called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. And so the Bible's clear about Jesus as being the Messiah. In fact, in Matthew 4, verses 12 And then 15:17, it says when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison who withdrew to Galilee. And then the passage prophecy says, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And guys, we need to understand as we talk about hope today, we have to use that phrase, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Covenant fellowship, 100 years from now, may dissolve. Churches live and die. We see that. You know, a lot of churches in England now are bars and clubs. They've closed down. I've seen churches. Church that I used to pastor 30 years ago, that church is no longer in existence. And so a new church start has gone into it to try to minister to that community. So churches do die, but what a church exists for, what you exist for, is the kingdom of God. And you need to remember that. So the very first thing that Jesus starts talking about as he begins his ministry is what? The kingdom of God. Now, he talks about the kingdom of God for several reasons. One, God rules over everything. Do you hear me? God rules over everything. In Psalm 103, the psalmist writes, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, you might say, I'm in charge. No, you're not. God is. And the Bible says in Philippians, one day, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. So one day you're going to bow. You can do it while you're alive or you can do it before you're cast into hell. It's your choice. But God rules over everything. Now, when you're thinking, all right, if God rules over everything, why is our world broken and lost then? Our world is broken and lost. It's because we are living in rebellion. You hear me? Rebellion. Ephesians, the Bible says, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That is the devil. And you need to remember when Jesus returns, he's returning how? Via the air, to show that he's Lord over everything. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So the world is broken and lost. That's why kids have leukemia. That's why we fight cancer. We fight other issues. Why bad things happen. Dumb people make stupid decisions that have incredible consequences that bring pain and suffering. It's because we're living in rebellion. The third thing that I want to say about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God, because of Jesus, we're given a new life and a new hope. Amen? The letter to the Colossians in the Bible. For he, that's Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of God. That means now we have a new life in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, a new hope now. Star Wars doesn't have the claim of a new hope. The Bible does. I thought you'd laugh at that. But anyway, we are given a new life and a new hope because of the kingdom of God. Nothing can defeat the kingdom of God. So we now, as we talk about the kingdom of God and hope this morning, we need to talk about a phrase that's going to have you scratching your head for a moment. The hope of the already, but not yet. Thank you, Vance. The hope of the already, but not yet. What does that mean? When Jesus was born, the kingdom started. But it will not be fulfilled completely until he returns as king. There's a big phrase there. I won't use it as we talk about eschatology. But what it does point out is this. Notice this in Matthew 4:17. For the kingdom of heaven has come. It's here. Now, are you going to bow to it or not? In Luke chapter 2, a nativity story, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And so Jesus has come. He was born of a man, to die on the cross. But he is the Messiah. After his death and resurrection, he ascended to heaven. But one day he's returning. And when he returns, it's finished. And what did Jesus say on the cross, by the way? It is finished. And so the kingdom of God is here already, but not yet. And we're kind of living between those two time points. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Like right now. You know. I think I'm going to start laughing at myself. Embarrass my wife. But anyway, this is the illustration, and it's not the best illustration. But for you history buffs, you get it, what you say. What's the significance of June the 6th, 1944? D-Day. Allies' invasion of Normandy. Now, what everybody knew is that once we could get the Allies in on the Western Europe, okay, to invade, World War II's over with. What's the significance of May 8, 1945? Victory in Europe Day. That's the day the Germans signed the surrender. And what you had between D-Day, when, okay, we've won this war, there's still battles to fight, the surrender happens 11 months later. Jesus has come with the kingdom. He's died, ascended, there's battles we still have to fight. But when he returns, that's the final surrender of everything. The first advent is Christmas. The second advent is the return of Christ. And you and I have the challenge of living those battles between D-Day and the surrender, Christmas, and the second coming of Christ. So we need to be thinking in those terms. Already, but not yet. The battle's been won. The war has been won. The battles, God gives us victory. And as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we have hope that whatever comes our way, we can say, bring it on. Because greater is he who's in me than he that's in this world, the Bible tells us. And we need to remember that. I may die, I may fall apart, but Jesus still sits on the throne of the universe. So now the question is the hope we bear. And as we talk about the hope we bear, I bring you back to Matthew 10. Jesus sends out his disciples. By the way, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you become his disciple. It means you're to grow and you become on mission with him. And so he's looking at everybody in this room. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's right here. And you have to make a decision. Are you going to surrender to it or not? I want you to think of another history illustration. During the Civil War, the last state to secede from the Union was Tennessee. They couldn't make up their mind. Middle Tennessee was pro-Confederacy. Western Tennessee was pro-Confederacy. And they had the power. And so after the war started, they voted to succeed. But there was a group of people in Eastern Tennessee that said, "Nope, we belong to the Union. They are the legitimate government, not the Confederate government." And so you had a rebellion against the rebellion. Guys, hear me carefully in that illustration. The kingdom of God, we're part of it. The world lives in rebellion. We're not going to live like the world. We're going to rebel against the world because Jesus Christ is the true King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so that's the hope we bear, that as we walk, people see Jesus living in me. People see Jesus living in you. As I say, the hope, let's get down to the hope of Christ. When I say the hope of Christ, I want you to think of that phrase, it is finished. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's here. It is finished. God has done everything. All we're waiting for is his return. And it's going to happen. And my question to you this morning, are you ready for his return? Because when he returns, I think of Romans 15, 12 through 13, the text that I ask you to read. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse. That's David's father. Who is the root of Jesse? Jesus. Now notice what the Bible says. Will spring up one who will rise to rule all over all nations. Who's that? Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords. In him the Gentiles will hope. We put our eyes on Jesus. We're made right with the Father. We will not stay in a grave. We have power so that the kingdom can work through us to change and to heal lives. Amen? And because of that, Paul continues and he says this, may the God of hope, not the God of iffiness, but the God of certainty, fill you with all joy and peace, attributes also of Christmas. You know, you have the candle of hope, candle of joy, the candle of peace, things that we'll be talking about. As you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever poured too much coffee in a cup or soft drink in it? That's what we're talking about. The Spirit's going to fill you so much that you're just overflowing. And you're overflowing with hope, knowing God can do this, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and the devil flees. And God is glorified. But this morning, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to get on mission with God? It's kind of hard to believe in 3 weeks from today, it's Christmas. 4 weeks, we're celebrating the new year. 5 weeks, you've thrown out every new promise that you've made for 2023, okay? Pledges, whatever you want to do. But Jesus is still coming. Jesus is still the same. Amen? And what I look forward to, since we've read from Isaiah, I want to finish in Isaiah 25 this morning. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty, we're talking about the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Amen. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all of the earth. The Lord has spoken. What say you this morning? What say you of the hope that God gives? Will you say yes to it? Or are you going to say, I need a little bit more time? You want to make God laugh? Tell him what you're going to do this afternoon. Tell him about your plans for tomorrow or this week. And watch God change those plans. Why? Because he's in control. He's the Lord of Lords. I invite you this morning, as Jordan comes up, he's going to lead us in a new song for the invitation. It's blown away. Our God blows you away, man. He is so incredible, so awesome. And I invite you to rededicate your life to him this morning. If you've taken a membership class and you want to join, you come. If you've never trusted Jesus, all you have to do is ask Him to forgive you of your sins, acknowledge His sovereignty over you. Because if you don't do it today, you're going to have to do it at some other point, and I don't want it to be before that great white throne, because then it's too late. I invite you to trust Jesus right now. If you want to know how, feel free to come talk to me or Pastor Scott in the back. Alicia's there to pray as well. If you need prayer, the altar is open. I'm here to pray with you. But I do know this. God is calling you to say yes to Him, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's here. Would you stand as we worship with Jordan? God calls on you right now.